MashaAllah, as we do know that what's coming up soon is obviously the month of Ramadan, and we know the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So I think it's very apt and important that we talk about this so that we understand the Quran in a much better light. So let's welcome Dr. Babunia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I also send salamu Mr. Harun Yahya, Mr. Adnan Oktar, to all my brothers and sisters there, inshallah.
Inshallah. I do know you represent the Harun Yahya Foundation. If you just want to maybe refresh the listeners by just giving us an overview of the Harun Yahya Foundation.
Inshallah. Harun Yahya is the pen name of Mr. Adnan Oktar. Harun and Yahya are the names of the two prophets. So he uses the pen name. And he has more than 300 books, science, faith, and politics related. He has been struggling since 1979, 1980, and against Darwinism, materialism, and atheistic philosophies, and spreading the truth of Quran in all over the world. His books are translated to more than 75 languages, and one of them is like Atlas of Creation, and which was made to more than 100,000 free of charge to major academicians and major politicians. Major singers, actors, all in Europe and the United States, and has impact in the media. So he's basically targeting Darwinism and materialism because these philosophies, which reject the existence of Allah, are the foundation of many perverted ideologies of the 20th century, such as communism, fascism, anarchism, racism, terrorism, are all founded upon the concepts of Darwinism, inshallah. So we gave more than 1,000 conferences on behalf of Mr. Adnan Oktar, as you stated, in United States and in Europe, in Far East, Indonesia, Malaysia, Japan, Australia, and Russia, in many countries, inshallah. So we are here, alhamdulillah, with you, mashallah. It's a great pleasure and honor for me, inshallah.
Shukran, I know we did speak a year ago, although the line was not so clear. And alhamdulillah, now at least we're much advanced by connecting with Skype, and it is such more very clear about it. Now, you've been a specialist in neurosurgery and neurology. I mean, what made you join the foundation and speak about the creation of the universe and the creation of man?
Well, as you know, Darwinism is being taught in all over the schools, all over the world, including Turkey and Muslim countries and the Western countries, as a unidirectional way, which claims that life emerged by chance and the species emerged by chance and evolved to other species randomly by chance. And there is no creator. That is the false religion, so-called false religion, which is being taught in the schools. It is not science. It is against all the scientific evidences. So I've been through Darwinist education. However, when I was being educated in the United States, in New York University, I'm a medical doctor, neurosurgeon, and I was doing my residency in New York University, I met Mr. Adnan Oktar. And he is very sincere, mashallah, with wisdom, explained me scientifically why Darwinism is wrong. And why should we live according to Quran? And that is the only purpose of this life. So I, of course, it was very convincing because there is no other purpose. Allah states in one verse, "I seek refuge in Allah from accursed Satan. I created man and jinn to worship me alone." Allah says, "I created man and jinn alone, only to worship me." Allah says. So this is the only purpose of this life. And I joined this struggle. And one of his friends, there are about 200, a couple of hundred more actually, inshallah. There are some are from business, some are academicians, doctors like myself, or lawyers. So we're struggling. This is, of course, a volunteer, inshallah, struggle with our wealth and life for in the way of Allah, to gain the great pleasure of Allah. That is the only purpose. His only purpose is to gain the great pleasure of Allah. And that is my purpose. And that is the purpose of all the Muslims, actually. So we're struggling to eradicate these religious philosophies, also to unite Muslims, a big Islamic union, which is a must from the order from Allah in the Quran. Allah says, "Hold and hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not separate." That's an order of Allah from all the Muslims. So we are doing that, inshallah, to bring peace to the entire world, because Muslims got fragmented, as you know, they got divided. There is much enmity and hatred between different sects, different groups. But this is haram according to the Quran. There is a time, this is the time for unity of the Muslims to bring peace to the entire world. And that's an order from Allah. So that's what we are doing. We give conferences, we do radio programs, TV programs. There's a TV channel of Mr. Adnan Oktar, TV channel A9. And when he does his programs every night, every day, 7 days a week, he does TV programs live. It can be watched through the internet, through his website. And of the website of TV channel A9 in four languages simultaneously, English, French, Russian, and German. So I also do separate TV program every day live, in the TV channel A9 also. We talk about Darwinism, the scientific evidence which refute Darwinism and materialism. We talk about Marxism, scientific evidence which refute Marxism. We talk about miracles of the Quran, Quranic topics, also political issues also, inshallah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Love your passion and dedication, alhamdulillah. Now, the topic, coming to the topic for tonight. Yes, you're listening to Fool's Paradise with your host, Dr. Anwar Jiwa, and we're broadcasting live. We will be opening the line very, very soon, but let Dr. Babunia maybe just give us an idea, an introduction of what we're going to be speaking about. But 14 centuries ago, over 14 centuries ago, Allah has sent down the Quran to mankind as a book of guidance, and He called upon people to be guided to the truth by adhering to His book. Now, from the day of His revelation to the day of judgment, this last divine book will remain the sole guide for humanity. The matchless style of the Quran and the superior wisdom in it are definite evidence that it is the word of God. In addition, the Quran has many miraculous attributes, proving that it is a revelation from God. One of these attributes is the fact that there is a number of scientific truths that we have only been able to uncover by technology of the 20th century that was stated in the Quran 1400 years ago. So I think the most important thing we need to start with, Dr. Babunia, is obviously the creation of the universe. I mean, it has been stated in the Quran, as we mentioned, that it only has surfaced in the last 100 years. So let's touch on the creation of the universe.
Yes, as you stated, it is very important, and Allah send as a last book, as a last revelation to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the last revelation, and it will be protected. It will be there until the last day, inshallah. But ever since the Quran was revealed, it has possessed an easily understandable language. The language of Quran is easily understandable and tone to all the people in all times. So Allah actually tells us this style in the Quran. I seek refuge in Allah from my curse, Satan. 54:22. Allah says, "We have made the Quran easy to remember." So it is easily understandable. Quran is easily understandable to everybody. The perfection of the literary language of the Quran is incomparable features of its style and superior wisdom contained within it are some of the definitive proofs that it represents the word of our Lord. But there are other evidences, as you stated, miracles, scientific miracles of the Quran. There are many scientific miracles in the Quran. So, and these, of course, scientific evidences have not been known 1,400 years ago. They were discovered in the 20th century, most of them, and the second half of the 20th century. Of course, we should not view the Quran as a book of science, because it is primarily a book of moral and spiritual guidance. However, there are these scientific miracles of the Quran proving that Quran is the word of Allah. And one of them is the Big Bang. The Big Bang is in the Quran, which was only discovered in the 20th century. It could not have been known with the level of scientific knowledge of the 7th century, because the scientific knowledge of the 7th century was very primitive. It was very primitive understanding of astronomy or physics or about the universe. So the basic the dominating idea about the universe was static. Static means it was been existing since forever, it will exist for forever. That is the materialist worldview, actually. The materialism, which rejects the existence of anything beyond matter. Of course, science is not obliged to accept such a dogma, because science means exploring nature and deriving conclusion from one's findings. If these findings lead to conclusion that nature is created, science has to accept this. But materialist philosophy, which goes back to the ancient Greece, had the understanding or belief that the universe was static. So it has been existing since forever. However, Allah tells us 1400 years ago in the Quran, Allah created the universe out of nothingness. And I will read you one of the verses from the Quran. It is chapter 6, verse 101. Allah says, "I seek refuge in Allah from my curse, Satan. He is the originator of the heavens and the earth." The originator means that the universe had an origination. The matter, time, and space existed out of nothingness. So this information given in the Quran is in full agreement with the findings of the contemporary scientists. As we stated earlier, the conclusion that astrophysics has reached today is that the entire universe, together with the dimensions of the matter and time, came into existence as a result of great explosion that occurred long time ago. And this event, as everybody knows, is called Big Bang. Big Bang means big explosion. However, it's not an uncontrolled explosion because, as you know, explosives such as dynamites generate an explosion and uncontrolled. It only damaging. But this explosion, this beginning of the universe is based on very delicate balances. And, of course, since Allah created the universe out of nothingness, so it must have started as with out of nothingness and then had a very small volume. It was getting larger and expanding and expanding. So it expanded in this huge universe, almost a huge universe that billions of years, light years old, big, entire universe. So it must have been expanding. And now we see that in the Quran also. This is the verse. I will read you evidence from the Quran. Another miracle of the Quran. Allah says in chapter 51:47, "And it is we who have constructed the heaven with might, and verily it is we who are steadily expanding it." Now Allah says Allah is expanding the universe. So how is it compatible with the scientific findings? I'll explain you right now, inshallah. Since materialism was claiming that universe was static, it existed since forever, Einstein and Alexander Friedman, first in the beginning of the 20th century, they calculated, Einstein, for example, calculated in his equations that universe could not be static. So he calculated it must be expanding. But however, there was so much materialist pressure at that time, and Einstein changed his calculations and added a cosmological constant into his equations just to make it the universe fit into the materialist model. But years after that, he said that was the greatest mistake of his career. So Einstein was the first one with Alexander Friedman finding that the universe must be expanding. It could not be static. They calculated that. And the first observation experiment come from American astronomer Hubble. Hubble with his huge telescope, in 1929 observed that the stars, spectrum of the light of the stars are moving toward red. So there is a physical law, actually, a physical rule. If the spectrum of the light of the objects are moving toward red, that means they are moving away from you. If they were, if the spectrum of the light of these objects in the universe is moving toward violet, that means they are moving towards you. So he with his observation that the spectrum of the light of the stars and galaxies are moving toward red, he decided that the universe must be expanding. All the objects, the stars, the galaxies are moving away from each other. That was the first observation. Now, of course, after he made this observation, the scientists started to think that if you go far back enough in time, the universe is expanding. If you go far back enough in time, we must come to a beginning of the universe. So universe must have originated from something with zero volume and infinite concentration. So, of course, zero volume means nothingness. So George Gamow, in 1948, made the calculations that he claimed that the universe must have a beginning, and this beginning should have been called a Big Bang, and there must be remnants of this beginning, a radiation which must be same everywhere in the universe. In 1963, two American physicists, Robert Wilson and Arnold Penzias, they discovered this radiation, the fossil remains of the beginning of the universe, of the Big Bang. And it is called cosmic background radiation, which is the same everywhere in the universe. So they got the Nobel Prize for that. So that was a very powerful evidence for the Big Bang, the cosmic background radiation. In 1989, NASA, the American Astronomy Foundation, NASA, they launched a satellite called COBE satellite into the universe, in 1989. And in 8 minutes, right after they left, the COBE satellite left the atmosphere, they discovered this COBE, the cosmic background radiation remnants. So Big Bang is definitely accepted by all the physicists all around the world. There is no question about it, because it is supported by scientific evidences of cosmic background radiation, Of course, it is being supported by the observation of Hubble, with the Hubble telescope, that the universe is expanding, expansion of the universe. That is a very second, very powerful evidence. Also, the hydrogen-helium ratio of the universe is compatible with the beginning of the universe, which happened 14 billion years ago. So approximately 14 billion years ago, according to scientists, the universe was created out of nothingness. So these facts, I just read from the Quran, 1,400 years ago, existed in the Quran, because Allah says Allah is expanding the universe. Nobody knew that universe is expanding that time. That was only discovered in the 20th century, in 1929, by the American astronomer Hubble, that universe is expanding. But it exists in the Quran. That means Quran is the word of Allah, because Allah created Big Bang, and Allah revealed the Quran to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And also, So Dr. Babunia, that means those that are atheists, those that do not believe in God, might justify and say that if the universe was created out of nothingness, so there is no God. But what we're saying is that creation that existed from nothingness has been mentioned in the Quran. So it means that if it has mentioned over 1400 years ago, and we all do know that Allah is the author of the Quran, so that indicates that, you know what, it was Allah Ta'ala that had created this out of nothingness.
Yes, I mean, as you said, a scientific fact which was discovered in the 20th century, if it exists in the Quran, that means only Allah could have known this, of course, the scientific fact. And the Quran is the word of Allah. That is one of the scientific proofs that Quran is the word of Allah. And also Big Bang proves and eradicates materialism and Darwinism completely, because according to materialism, as I stated, matter must have existed since forever. They say there is only matter and there is no creator. But science says no. Matter has a beginning. Matter was created. Matter, time and space was created out of nothingness. So there must be a creator, and that is Allah, with his infinite wisdom, power and artistry, created the entire universe and out of nothingness. In fact, in the universe, there are approximately 250 billion galaxies. Like our Milky Way. In one of the galaxies are about 250 billion stars. So it is a huge universe that we are living in. The Earth is only one of one of them, actually. Only in our galaxy there are estimated 250 billion stars. But like our galaxy, there are 250 billion other galaxies. MashaAllah. We are living in a huge universe, created with infinite power and wisdom of Allah, inshallah.
MashaAllah. And then coming to the next aspect, obviously, which has been mentioned in the Quran, the splitting asunder of the heavens and the earth, where it's stated here in the Quran from the ayah, do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were joined together as one unit of creation before? We clove them asunder and we made them from water, every living thing. Will they not believe? You just want to comment on the splitting part of it?
Yes. As you said, in Quran, chapter
21, 30,
yeah, Allah says, do not unbelievers see that the heavens and earth were sewn together, and that we unstitched them, and that we made from water every living thing? So will they not believe? Now, let's look into the verse. That carries a very important and scientific miracle in this verse. Of course, But this is used to refer to two different substances that make up a whole. The phrase that we just read, we unstitch, is the word fatak in Arabic, and implies that something comes into being by tearing apart. That's the meaning, or destroying the structure or things that are sound to one another. The sprouting of a seed, for example, the sprouting of a seed from soil is one of the actions to which this verb is applied. Let us take a look at the verse again. In the verse, sky and earth are at first subject to the status of ratk. They are separated, fataka, with one coming out of the other. So intriguingly, when we think about the first moments of the Big Bang, we see that the entire matter of the universe collected as a single point. That's the basic claim of the Big Bang. In other words, everything, including the heavens and the earth, which were not created yet, were in an interwoven and inseparable condition. Then this point exploded violently, causing its matter to disunite. So that is perfectly compatible with the scientific findings. So the heavens and the earth were sound together, they were together, and then Allah separated them. So in this verse, there is also another scientific miracle, actually. Allah says, and that we made from water every living thing. So we know today, the living cells, the living beings are made up mostly of the water. For example, in our bodies, 60-70% is water, made up of water. Inside the cell and outside in the extracellular environment, there is 60-70% is made of water. This is another scientific miracle which could not have been known 1400 years ago. So this is this verse also confirms the fact of the Big Bang. That Allah says that the heavens and earth were sewn together, and then we unstitched them. It is perfectly compatible with the Big Bang. So we understand Big Bang. The scientific evidence of Big Bang exists as a scientific miracle in the Quran that proves that the Quran is the word of Allah. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. We just need to go for a quick ad break. And Dr. Babunia, if you just hold on, we just go for a quick ad break for a minute or two. And inshallah, we will continue after this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, it's 10 past 9 on Radio Al Ansar, and you're listening to Force Paradise with your host, Dr. Anwar Chiwa. Well, we can open the lines on 031-208-4564, and we have Dr. Oktar Babunia all the way from Turkey live on Skype. But please, if you do call in, keep your calls as simple as possible, as short as possible, because we have an expert with us. It's so interesting that, you know, we want to make maximum benefit from it. So yes, we're speaking about the scientific miracles of the Quran. And in order to understand, first we need to understand that the Quran is not a book of science, but however, there are many scientific facts that are expressed in an extremely concise and profound manner in its verses that have only been discovered with the technology of the 20th century. And these facts could not have been known at the time of the Quranic revelation. And this is still more proof that the Quran is the word of God. Inshallah, Dr. Babunia will inform us of the proof. So coming to the next part of the scientific miracles of the Quran, speaking about the orbits, Dr. Babunia.
Yes, so this is another scientific miracle, actually. Allah tells us that there are orbits which are, all the objects are moving. This is another miracle. And this, of course, this could not have been known 1,400 years ago. So I want to read one of the verses about this, actually, inshallah, in the Quran 21:33, chapter 21, verse number 33. It is He who created night and day, and that in the sun and moon, each one swimming in a sphere. And also chapter 51, verse 7, Allah says, by heaven with its oscillating orbits. So these orbits of our earth, the planets, and also entire solar system also moving in an orbit. Not only that, the entire galaxy is moving in an orbit. For example, we're moving in huge speeds. The speed of the Earth, Sun, and the galaxy is approximately 900,000 kilometers. 900,000 kilometers in 1 hour, and this is a huge speed. So we are 900,000 kilometers away from the spot that we were 1 hour ago. So this is something. It's hard to imagine, actually. Alhamdulillah. And every one of these planets, Earth, and the galaxy is moving in an orbit. Allah says they are moving in specific orbits. And of course, this could not have been known 1,400 years ago, because they were only discovered in the second half of the 20th century. With the huge telescopes observing the universe, the scientists discovered these facts, that they are, each one is swimming in a sphere, as mentioned in the Quran 1,400 years ago. Also, this is another proof that the Quran is the word of Allah. But that shows us there are very delicate balances that we would like to emphasize at this point. For example, the delicate balances in the Big Bang is beyond imagination. If Big Bang, the strength of the gravity during the Big Bang was little more, millimetrically more, there would be no universe. Little more, little less, there would be no universe. So the gravity of the objects, it would be little more, little less, there would be no universe. Or the strong nuclear force, there are four major physical forces, actually. Major nuclear force, weak nuclear force, electromagnetism, and gravitation. And if these four major forces would be a little different, there would be no universe, no galaxies, and no life. So these, the delicate balances, the orbits, for example, and I will give you also another powerful evidence of for creation of Allah. The planet Earth, our planet, is moving in an orbit around the sun. So every 17 miles, do you use miles or kilometers in there?
Kilometers.
Okay. So it means about 27 kilometers, 17 miles, 27 or 28 kilometers. And the huge Earth, our planet, also it's rotating around itself also, is moving around the sun, like 27 kilometers, it deviates from a straight line only 3 millimeters. The entire Earth, huge Earth, every 28 kilometers, it deviates from a straight line 3 millimeters. But now scientists say if it would deviate 2.8 or 3.2 millimeters from a straight line, millimeters we're talking about, the entire Earth, either it would go into the space or dive into the sun and there would be no life. So who is keeping the Earth every 27 miles? Only deviation 3 millimeters from the right. So if we, for example, if we would ask the scientists to draw a line which would be 27 kilometers long, would only deviate from a straight line 3 millimeters, as you can imagine, it will be very hard. They have to use technical instruments, of course, technical devices to draw that kind of line. Maybe they should use a laser beam to draw this line. But Allah, this entire Earth, also rotating around the sun, and the sun is moving, the Earth is moving, the entire galaxy is moving, it only deviates since 4.6 billion years, 3 millimeters from the straight line. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, that's the power of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, you are listening to Dr. Babunia all the way live from Turkey, live on Skype. And the program is Fool's Paradise. You can call us on 031-284-564. But please keep your questions as short as possible because we would like our guests to inform us as much as possible. There's a lot to speak about. So we are speaking about orbits, and surely at the time the Quran was revealed, mankind did not possess today's telescopes or advanced observation technologies to observe millions of kilometers of space, nor the modern knowledge of physics or astronomy. Therefore, at that time, it was not possible to determine scientifically that the space is full of parts and orbits as stated in the verse which he had mentioned. However, this was openly declared to us in the Quran that was revealed at that time, because the Quran is the word of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Now, Dr. Babunia, coming back to, you know, I remember in school, in history, they taught us that hundreds of years ago, people thought that the earth was flat.
Yes.
And also they said that the earth was flat, but at the same time, there was two mountains on either side of the earth that was basically holding the sky up. Now, speak about the miracle of the Quran when they talk about the roundness of the earth.
Yes, I mean, we were also thought that Galileo was the first one who discovered that the roundness of the earth. No, that is not true. The Muslim scientists knew this centuries ago that the earth was round because it is stated in the Quran. And I will read you from the Quran. That is another scientific miracle of the Quran. 1,400 years ago, Allah stated in the Quran that the earth is round. It's not flat. So Allah says in verse chapter 39, verse 5, I seek refuge in Allah from accursed Satan. Allah says, He has created the heavens and the earth for truth. He wraps the night up in the day, and wraps the day up in the night. So the Arabic word, which is translated as to wrap in the about this in this verse, is yukavvir. In English, it means to make one thing lap over another. For instance, in Arabic, in the way that a turban is put on, that the turbans are put on, accurate information about that gives an accurate information about the shape of the world. This can be true only if the earth is round. If only earth is round, this word, yukavir, the meaning of the yukavir comes to be true. This means that in the Quran, which was revealed in the 7th century, the roundness of the world was stated. It was then thought that the world was a flat plane, as you stated at that time. Of course, for 1,400 years ago, people were thinking the world was flat. However, in the Quran, it is stated it is round, and the roundness of the earth was known 100 years ago, before the Galileo, that the earth is round was known by the Muslim scientists. As you might remember, the science at the time of Islam, around the 10th century, had a peak. There were beautiful scientists, like, for example, Ibn Sina, which is known Avicenna in the West, Biruni, Al-Kindi. They were all the founders of modern medicine, modern optics, modern anatomy. Are the founders are all Muslim scientists. Algebra, for example. Algebra was discovered by also a Muslim mathematician, as you know. And the roundness
Yes.
of Earth was known by the Muslim scientists because they were good believers. And in fact, in the Quran, Allah orders to study science. This is an order of Allah. That is the Muslims' obligation to study and research. By knowing these evidences of creation, by knowing these science leading to faith, that increases our iman. So our brothers and sisters actually should know these scientific facts, which are science leading to faith. And Allah orders that in the Quran. I will tell you why. There are several verses. For example, Allah tells in one of the verses, "Don't you look at the camel? It was how it was created. Don't you look at the sky? How it was raised up." So to look how the research how the camel was created, Allah says, "Don't you look at the camel how it was created?" We have to use scientific tools, which is electron microscope, genetics, molecular biology, zoology. We have to use these scientific tools to study how the camel was created, and by seeing the scientific evidences of the creation of Allah, that increases our faith, of course. These are the science leading to faith. Or Allah says, "Don't you look at the sky how it was raised up?" To look at the sky, how it was raised up, we have to use telescope, of course. Without telescope, without astronomy, we cannot study how the heavens, the atmosphere is raised up. So we have to use science. So Allah orders in many other verses to study science. These are
Maaf,
the,
Dr. Babunia, just hold on that thought. We will talk about the sky. I think we just have a caller. Let's take our caller. Anonymous, assalamu alaikum. Dr. Babunia, you managed to hear that question?
I cannot hear the caller. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said salamu alaikum to our brother, but I cannot hear.
I think he spoke about the days. You know, the days getting it was shorter or longer. He mentioned longer. He said the days are getting longer. Is that it has any effect by the so-called tides, you know, of the seas? Is that has
Well,
any
yeah.
link to that?
It is actually in the, one of the hadiths of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one of the hadiths that time will be shorter in the end times. When we come to the end times, we're living in the end times. From we know from the signs given by the prophets, they all came to be true. The time will be shorter, the days will be shorter, but after the certain part of the end times, the days will go back to its original form, 24 hours. Now we're living in that time. We know scientifically also. The days got shorter. We lived the 24 hours like about maybe 16 hours or a little more. That is stated by the scientists also. And inshallah, it will return back to its original form. Remember, during our childhood, everybody knows. For example, in my childhood, we were going to a vacation to school in the summertime. We couldn't finish it. I mean, the
Yeah, the
three
days
months
were
couldn't
long.
pass. But now, the years are like a month is passing by. So we live in these times, inshallah. That is a scientific fact.
Even the month of Ramadan, I mean, it's coming and going so quickly, you
Yes,
know.
exactly. I mean, the year has passed so fast from the last Ramadan. MashaAllah.
Mashallah. We have Brother Ayub online. Assalamu alaikum. Wa salam. Okay, Alhamdulillah. Keep it short and sweet. As it is, our guest cannot hear you. Yeah. Okay.
Alaikum
Is
salam.
it? Okay. Okay, I think what he mentioned there is he's basically saying that, obviously, we've gone so advanced. The universe is basically more technologically advanced. We can identify a lot of things, but we're experiencing more problems. What is the solution to these problems?
What kind of problems is he talking about?
The
About what?
challenges that we're facing in this 21st century. If you look at it, I mean, the amount of problems, the diseases, the sicknesses, the type of different social problems, marriages are breaking down, divorce. I mean, the
Okay.
problems are expanding. I mean, I seem to be so serious and are much worse than what it is. What is the solution to this?
Well, the source of the problems is the humanity got distance away from religion. As we know, irreligious philosophies prevailed the world. Starting with Charles Darwin in the 19th century, Darwinism prevailed the world. It has been taught in all over the world in the schools. 99% of the world became Darwinist and materialist. And that was studied unidirectionally, was taught in the schools all over the world, Darwinist philosophy, which rejects the existence of the creator. So humanity got distance away from religion. And because of the basic concepts of Darwinism, struggle for survival, survival of the fittest, and if you're strong, you will survive. If you're weak, you will get eliminated, and the conflict is the cause of the progress. And if these ideas were put in the subconscious mind of the people that you're a fighting animal, you have to fight for survival, and if you're strong, you will survive, and if you will be weak, you will get eliminated. But you have to fight for survival. Because of this, people got away from distance away from religion, became irreligious. And because of these ideas, communism, fascism, wild capitalism, anarchism, racism, terrorism has emerged. World War I, World War II, and so much bloodshed in the 20th century. More than 300, these are the official numbers, but the unofficial numbers are probably more than that. 300 million people were killed, billions were injured, cities were destroyed, and there were so many wars and bloodshed and conflicts, including the Islamic world. For example, our Muslim brothers and sisters are in their conflicts in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Palestine, in East Turkestan, now in Egypt, in Tunisia, Jordan, wherever we look, we see conflicts. So this is because of these irreligious philosophies. Also in the Islamic world, remember, I will give you evidences for this also. For example, in Egypt, Nasser time, Arab socialism, Marxism prevailed in Egypt. They became Marxist, socialist, and Darwinist and materialist. Gaddafi regime was Arab socialism. This is also Marxism. In Palestine, George Habash was Marxist. There was a Marxist revolution in Afghanistan, as you might remember. In Saddam's regimes, the same thing. Arab socialism, Ba'ath Party, they became Marxist. So they stayed away from religion. And that because of this, so many wars, internal conflicts, and terrorism, and wars, and bloodshed has emerged. But Allah, this is under the control of Allah, of course. Allah is the creator of the destiny. Now in Quran, Allah promises in Surah An-Nur verse 55 that Allah will prevail Islam, religion, to the world. That's a promise of Allah. And this will definitely happen. And this will happen in these times, inshallah, since we are living in the end times. So the solution is returning back to religion, to the essence of religion. Quran is beautiful. Quran is living guidance for everybody, inshallah. And Quran is sufficient for the Muslims. So how do we know? At the time of our prophet, he also, of course, put Quran into the practice, into life. And this is the best example, our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow the Quran and the sunnah of our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by returning to back to religion and unity of the Muslims will be solution to these, all these to the problems that our brother is mentioning. But this is again under the control of Allah. When we return back to religion, Allah will change and a golden age is coming. When Islamic morality will prevail the world, there will be progress in science, technology, arts, and wealth justice will prevail the world, inshallah. And these days are coming.
MashaAllah. In fact, maybe after Ramadan, maybe we'll do a program with you speaking about the end times. And as you had
Inshallah,
mentioned,
inshallah.
inshallah, and as you mentioned, that Allah Ta'ala says that we can plan, but Allah is the best of planners. And when you
MashaAllah.
speak about the Quran being the guidance, we need to understand that if we go back to the Quran and to our deen, obviously we will see success in this world and in the year after. Now, coming back to the so-called protected roof or the sky, I mean, you know, we look at the sky, but we do not realize the significance, what important role this thing plays to us as human beings on this earth. Maybe you can just speak a little bit on the importance of the sky and what role the sky plays.
Yes, Allah says in the verse 21:32, we made the sky a preserved and protected roof, yet still they turn away from our signs. Now, of course, with the knowledge of the 7th century, it could not have been understood, but in the 20th century, the scientists had many different discoveries. In the Quran, Allah calls our attention to this very important truth. The attribute of the sky has been proved by scientific research carried out in the 20th century. It has been found the atmosphere surrounding the earth serves crucial functions for the continuity of life. Atmosphere has very specific functions. While destroying many meteors, the meteors are showering the earth all the time. While destroying many meteors, big and small as they approach the earth, it prevents them from falling to the earth and harming living things. That's a protected roof. The atmosphere is protecting our earth, the meteors showering our earth, because if they would reach our earth, the life would be completely destroyed. In addition to that, the atmosphere filters the light rays coming from space that are harmful to living things. That is also protection. The most striking feature of this function of the atmosphere is that it lets only harmless and useful rays, visible light, for example, near ultraviolet light and the radio waves, pass through. So it is protecting us. Otherwise, the harmful ultraviolet of the moon, of the sun, would completely destroy life. It would be 10,000 times higher than normal. If there is, for example, it would be no ozone layer. Ozone layer, which is only one of the layers of the atmosphere, is protecting us against these ultraviolet coming from the sun. So only a limited and essential part of the ultraviolet spectrum reaches the earth because of the ozone layer. So that means, of course, it is a protective layer. The protective function of the atmosphere but does not end here, because the atmosphere also protects the earth from the freezing cold of the space, which is approximately minus 270 degrees Celsius or minus 454 degrees Fahrenheit. So again, that was mentioned in the Quran, that is a protective layer. As we see, it is a shield against the harmful radiation, and it is protecting us against the ultraviolet, harmful ultraviolet radiation. And also, there is a layer, it's called Van Allen Belt. If Van Allen Belt did not exist, the massive outbursts of energy called solar flares and that frequently occur in the sun would destroy all life in the earth. So Van Allen Belt is also protective. And the earth also, there is another fact that the earth has the highest density of any planets in the solar system. So this large nickel iron core, that's the core of the earth. Nickel iron core is responsible for our large magnetic field. The only other rocky planet to have this magnetic field is Mercury, but its field strength is 100 times less than the earth. Even Venus, or our sister planet, has no magnetic field. The Van Allen radiation shield is a design unique to the Earth. So it is protective for us also, inshallah. So again, inshallah, this proves this fact, which is mentioned in the Quran 1,400 years ago, alhamdulillah, but which is only discovered in this last century. Another scientific miracle of the Quran proves that the Quran is the word of Allah, inshallah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Well, let's take Brother Ibrahim, and then inshallah after that we'll go for another ad break. Brother Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah. Okay, I'll follow that question up. Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. Wonderful question. He says that because, as you mentioned, that the universe is so huge and so big, is there any other life form in outside Earth, in other parts of the universe?
All right. Well, Allah has infinite power. And as you know, as everybody knows, all the Muslims, inshallah, Allah says He is the Lord of the worlds. The worlds. Not only one word, but the worlds. He is the Lord of the worlds. So, of course, our universe could be only one of the universes, infinite number of the universes. Maybe we are living in just one electron of an atom. There could be infinite worlds, inshallah. Because Allah has infinite power. We know that. Allah is infinite and it has an infinite power and wisdom, inshallah. So, could there be aliens? Yes, there could be aliens. Have you seen them? No, we haven't seen them. But since, for example, we know there are angels, there are jinn, and there are human beings, so Allah could have created other worlds. There are some other living beings existing. Of course, this is Allah has the power to do that. So, but we haven't seen them. We don't know. But could there be aliens? Of course, there could be aliens, inshallah.
That's why we hear some people get abducted too.
Yeah, but they claim this, of course, without having the evidence.
It's only a joke. Yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, and sometimes people say they got abducted and came back and, you know, all that. But obviously, there is no evidence. So, yes, you are listening to Fool's Paradise with your host, Dr. Nurjiwa. And we have online, live on Skype from Turkey, Dr. Babunya, speaking about the miracles of the Quran. So we will take a quick ad break, Dr. Babunya. I know I heard you early on filling your glass of water. That's the beauty of technology. And so, inshallah, we'll let you have your water and we'll come back to you after a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, it's approximately 20 to 10 and you are listening to Fool's Paradise on Radio Al-Ansar, broadcasting live from 189 West Road, Overport, Durban. And with us, we have online all the way from Turkey, Dr. Oktar Babunya from the Harun Yahya Foundation, and we speak here about the scientific miracles of the Quran. Now, we need to understand that in order to understand the scientific miracle of the Quran, we must first take a look at the level of science at the time when this holy book was revealed. In the 7th century, when the Quran was revealed, Arab society had many superstitious and groundless beliefs where scientific issues were concerned. And lacking the technology to examine the universe and nature, these early Arabs believed in legends inherited from past generations. They supposed, for example, that the mountains supported the sky above. They believed that the earth was flat and that there were high mountains at its both ends. It was thought that these mountains were pillars that kept the vault of heaven high above. Okay, before we go back to Dr. Babunya, let's take our next caller, Brother Mohammed. Assalamu alaikum. Shukran, Brother Mohammed. Assalamu alaikum. I don't know, Dr. Babunya, if you got that question.
No, I couldn't hear, actually.
Okay. He spoke about astronomy. He says that, you know, although there are a lot of people and there are a lot of books written by non-Muslims on astronomy, is there anybody from, you know, as a Muslim who have basically showed that all these theories in astronomy that we find in among the non-Muslims, it has existed in the Quran? Is there any particular person that have done research in astronomy from an Islamic point of view?
Yes, there are actually many Muslim scientists. For example, Biruni is one of them. And there are other scientists. And they studied astronomy and they're actually founders of modern astronomy. And so because in the 20th, in the 10th century, there was a peak of Islamic science, because they were very good Muslims, sincere Muslims, and they followed the order of Allah to study science, and they did research, they investigated, because Allah orders us to ponder and investigate in the verses in the Quran, inshallah, and these scientists were the founders of many modern sciences. So in one of the books of Mr. Adnan Oktar is Mr. Harun Yahya is Quran Leads the Way to Science. And I recommend to our brothers and sisters to read this book. They will find many other scientists, Islamic scientists, who are the founders of optics, anatomy, and mathematics, for example, or modern medicine. Ibn Sina is founder of the modern medicine. His book, medical book, was studied in European universities, medical universities, for 8 centuries as a standard medical textbook, alhamdulillah. But Western science, they don't like to mention the names of the Muslim scientists. But the reality is, Muslim scientists are founders of many modern branches of the sciences, inshallah.
MashaAllah. I think I can hear azan in the background, so it must be Isha time there.
Yes, inshallah.
MashaAllah, what wonderful azan. Well, what time is it there at the moment?
Well, it's 10:44 p.m., inshallah.
Oh, 10:44 p.m.
Yes.
And is that how late Isha is at the moment in
Yes,
Turkey?
inshallah. Yes, it's summertime. It's like this, yeah, inshallah.
MashaAllah. All right, coming back, as I mentioned early on, about the mountains, you know, we tend to drive around and we look at these huge structures. I mean, there is some significance. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about the function of the mountains.
Yes, the mountains has very specific role. Of course, again, this also could not have been known 1,400 years ago. In one of the verses, Allah says, it is verse chapter 21, verse 31. Allah says, "I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. We placed firmly embedded mountains on the earth, so it would not move under them." In another verse, chapter 78, verse 6 to 7, Allah says, "Haven't we made the earth as a bed and the mountains its pegs?" Now let's look into these verses, inshallah. Allah draws our attention to a very important geological function of the mountains in these verses. The mountains has a very specific role. In the verse, Allah states that mountains perform the function of preventing shocks in the earth. This fact was not known, of course, by anyone at the time of Quran was revealed. It was, in fact, brought to light, this scientific fact, only recently as a result of finding of modern geological research. Mountains emerge as a result of the movements and collisions of massive plates forming the Earth's crust. When two plates collide, the two plates of the Earth collide, the stronger one slides under the other one. The one on the top bends and forms heights and mountains. The layer beneath proceeds under the ground and makes a deep extension downward. So therefore, as mountains have a portion stretching downwards as large as their visible parts on the earth. So formerly it was thought that mountains were merely protrusions rising above the surface of the earth. However, scientists realized that this was not actually the fact, and that those parts known as the mountain root extended down for as 10 to 15 times their own height. So they're holding the crust of the earth. With these features, mountains play a very similar role to a nail or peg firmly holding down, like a tent, for example. You know, there are pegs holding
Yes.
firmly down a tent. For example, Mount Everest, for example, the summit, which stands approximately 9 kilometers above the surface of the earth, that is the highest mountain in the earth, has a root deeper than 125 kilometers. That's about 77 miles. In a scientific text, the structure of the mountain is described like this. I mean, this is 9 kilometers is the height of the mountain of Everest, but it goes deeper, 125 kilometers down below the earth. So these scientific facts are compatible with what Allah mentioned, stated in the Quran. Inshallah, mashallah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Yes, you are listening to Fool's Paradise with your host, Dr. Anwar Chiwa, and we have approximately 12 minutes left to go, and we still have a lot of points to discuss. Maybe we will continue. And we're speaking to Dr. Oktar Babunia, all the way from Turkey, from the Harun Yahya Foundation, and we're speaking about the miracles in the Quran. I think I want to touch on another very important point. Many of us, I don't think, understand and realize about the pairs in creation, you know, having a male and female. So what does the Quran explain, or what does the Quran say about the pairs in creation?
Well, this is another scientific fact which could not have been known, but which was discovered in 1933 by a scientist called, his name is Paul Dirac. That is a British physicist, Paul Dirac, who discovered that matter, everything was created, matter was created in pairs. So Allah makes this statement in the Quran about the duality of the creation. In one verse, chapter 36, verse 36, Allah says, "Glory be to Him who created all the pairs, from what the earth produces, and from themselves, and from things unknown to them." So, while we know male and female is equivalent to the concept of pair, of course, humans are created in pairs, animals in pairs. We know today scientifically also the plants are created in pairs. But Allah says in this verse also, things unknown to them. That is expressed in the Quran. That has also a broader meaning actually. So we encounter one of the meanings pointed to this verse in the present day. As I mentioned, Paul Dirac, a British physicist, who discovered that matter was also created in pairs, matter and antimatter. So he won the Nobel Prize for this in 1933. This finding, known as parity, revealed the duality known as matter and antimatter. MashaAllah. Again, this was discovered in the 20th century, in the year 1993, but it's in the Quran 1,400 years ago. That is another evidence showing that Quran is the word of Allah. MashaAllah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I think we still got a lot to discuss. Maybe we will take it up in follow-up programs, because I think there's still a lot of other scientific facts about speaking about the iron, the relativity time, the proportion of rain, the formation of rain, the winds, the seas not mingling with one another, the darkness in the seas, the eternal waves, the region that controls our movement, the birth of the human being. Maybe nice, just in conclusion, just to speak a little bit about the birth of the human being.
Yes. Well, again, there are many scientific facts given in the Quran about the embryology, for example. And I will let's see some of them, inshallah. For example, in one verse, Allah gives a very important scientific fact. Allah says, "I seek refuge in Allah from accursed Satan. Does man reckon he will be left uncontrolled without purpose? Was he not once a drop of ejected semen?" So now we pay attention to this verse. Allah says, "Was he not once a drop of ejected semen?" Of course, 1,400 years ago, scientifically, it was not known that only a small part of the semen is fertilizing and it's causing the birth of a human being, the creation of the human being. Now, we know today there are about, in the semen, there are sperms. But sperms was not known because they didn't have the microscope, they didn't have the electron microscope, or they didn't have any microscope. So we know today there are about 250 million sperms, average, coming from the father. Is only 1,000 of them can reach the egg cell, 1,000 of them can reach the egg cell, and only one of them is able to fertilize for fertilization. So, of course, this is compatible with the fact mentioned in this verse. Was he not once a drop, a very small part of the ejected, not the entire semen, only small part. Only 1,000 of 250 million sperms can reach the egg cell, only a small part, and only one of them can fertilize. That is a scientific fact which could not have been known 1,400 years ago. This is also another evidence that Allah is the creator. Now, there are other scientific facts. For example, about the sex of the baby. Allah, in one verse, Allah says that he created the two sexes, male and female, out of a sperm drop when it spurted forth. Fair is Allah from beginning to end. So this part of the verse, out of a sperm drop of the ejaculate, gives the very important scientific fact that the sex and gender of the baby is determined by the sperm cells. We know today scientifically, of course, there are two chromosomes, X and Y chromosome, which gives the sex. If there are XX, that means female. XY means male. So when the sperm cell fertilizes, it gives either brings either X or Y, and that determines the sex, because in the egg cell only X chromosome. But if comes X chromosome from the sperm, it becomes X and X, a female. If Y chromosome comes from the sperm cell, it makes it X and Y, a male. So who determines the sex of the baby? The father. So that fact is also mentioned in the Quran. It was not known 1400 years ago. Actually, in the old times, before this discovery made in the 20th century, as you know, might remember, that people were thinking that the mother is responsible for the gender of the baby. However, this is not true. The father is the responsible one. MashaAllah, and this is mentioned in the Quran, stated in the Quran. So there are also other scientific facts. For example, In another verse, Allah gives another scientific miracle. This is about the clot clinging to the uterus. Allah says, recite in the name of your Lord, who created man from alaq. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous. So we pay attention to this word alaq. Alaq has two meanings. Alaq is used for something to clinch on something, and it is also used as for the parasites which sucks blood. So in this meaning, both meanings, we know today the zygote. The zygote means if the egg cell is fertilized by the sperm cell, of course it starts to duplicate, and then the first cell collection is called zygote. It moves into the mother's womb, into the wall of the mother's womb. So first it clinches, like the meaning of the word alak, to the wall of the uterus, the womb of the mother. And then it starts to suck blood, because the zygote gets all this nutrition and oxygen from the mother through an organ called placenta. So it is like almost a meaning, like metaphorically, like sucking blood from the mother's womb. So the two meaning comes to be true. Of course, this could not have been known 1400 years ago. It was only discovered very recently in the second part of 20th century, mashallah. Another one is the wrapping of the muscles over bones. So Allah says, we then form the drop into clot, and form the clot into lump, and form the lump into bones, and clothe the bones in flesh. So if you pay attention in this verse, Allah says, Allah formed the drop into clot, and formed the clot into lump, and formed the lump into bones, and clothed the bones in flesh. Previously, the scientists thought that the bones and the flesh, which is muscles, of course, muscles and bones are formed at the same time. However, recently, decades ago, it was discovered that the bones was formed first, and then the muscles around it. The scientists who discovered that is Keith L. Moore. Keith L. Moore is a well-known scientist. He's a former president of the Canadian Association of the Anatomists and American Association of the Clinical Anatomists. So he's a very famous embryologist. So he has a book. It's called The Developing Human. And that textbook of embryology is actually being studied in the medical schools as a standard textbook of embryology. In this book, Keith Moore, without knowing this verse, without knowing that information from the Quran, he made the statement, that is a quote from his book, Keith Moore's. The muscles take their positions around the bones throughout the body and therefore clothe the bones. Thus, the muscles take their well-known forms and structures. The stage of clothing with muscle occurs during the 8th week. MashaAllah. Remember what Allah said in the Quran? First, Allah formed the lump into bones and clothed the bones in flesh. Keith Moore says the muscles take their positions around the bones throughout the body and therefore clothe the bones. And after that, Keith Moore converted to be a Muslim. And he made this statement. This is also from Keith Moore, this Canadian and American scientist. He said, it is clear to me that these statements must have come, Muhammad, from Allah, because most of this knowledge was not discovered until many centuries later. This proves to me that Muhammad must have been a messenger of Allah. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Well, Dr. Babunia, it's already time up, and you know we still got a lot to discuss, so we will work in the future programs on continuing this. And also, you know, the topic about the evolution theory is a huge topic, which you all do specialize in.
Yes,
we did do an interview.
Inshallah.
We did an interview with you, but that time the line was not so good. So we will basically redo that interview with you, inshallah, very soon. And also the end of times, I think, is something that we're going
inshallah.
To discuss.
Yes, inshallah.
So on behalf of the management of Radio Al Ansar, we'd like to thank your team for connecting with us. And also on behalf of the management of Radio Al Ansar, we also like to thank the Harun Yahya Foundation, and to all the members out there, Ramadan Mubarak, and a very, very happy and spiritually uplifting Ramadan. Shukran for accepting our invitation, and so shukran for even inviting us to be to allow us to do this interview. May Allah reward you abundantly.
Jazak Allah khair. It was a great pleasure and honor for me, and I send the salam of Mr. Adnan Oktar, and on behalf of Mr. Adnan Oktar, to all Muslim brothers and sisters there. We love you, inshallah. Hope to see you soon. It was a great pleasure and honor to be with you, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, we are speaking to Dr. Oktar Babunia, and you are listening to Fool's Paradise with your host, Dr. Nojiwa. As you see, that wealth of information, we only touched the tip of the iceberg, but inshallah, we will continue the series now that we have a very clear line. So after this program, I'm sure you all know that the Quran is the word of God. All that we have seen so far shows us one clear fact, that the Quran is such a book that all the news related in it has been proved to be true. I mean, the small thing like the ants talking. I mean, now they're talking about it on CNN, but it was mentioned in the Quran. Facts about scientific subjects and the news given about the future, facts that no one could have known at that time, were announced in its verses. It is impossible for this information to have been known with the level of knowledge and technology of the day. It is clear that this provides clear evidence that the Quran is not the word of man. The Quran is the word of Almighty Allah, the originator of everything and the one who encompasses everything with his knowledge. In one verse, Allah says in the Quran, if it had been from other than Allah, they would have found many inconsistencies in it. Not only are there no inconsistencies in the Quran, but every piece of information it contains reveals the miracle of this divine book more and more each day. What falls to man is to hold fast to this divine book revealed by Allah Ta'ala and receive it as his one and only guide.